Okay, well, good morning. You know, the last couple of weeks we have been doing the series Freedom in Christ. And, you know, through that series we have, you know, in the teachings we have had strongholds being broken off of us. And now we're coming into a place where we're just coming to the end of the series, and we're going to be landing the series hopefully in 2 weeks. But just in the series, why did we do it? Well, we did it because we're stepping into who we are called to be. Because God is calling us, and God wants to intertwine his life with ours. And that means, you know, if you take a piece of ribbon or a rope and you begin to plait it, well, that's what God wants to do. He wants to intertwine his life with yours. And he wants to go deeper with you. And I loved what Rob said last week, when he said, don't disqualify yourself for what God has qualified you for. I just thought that was brilliant. And you know, that's for all of us here today, that we don't disqualify ourselves. So just before I get into it, Father God, I just thank you, Lord, that you're in the house today. Father, I thank you that this word, Father, that comes this morning, Lord, will not return void. But Father, this word will go out, Lord, and it will rest and land on people's hearts, Lord. That, Father, that you've called us into the kingdom. Not for us, Lord, but for you, Lord. For your plan and for your purpose. And, Father, all you're looking for, Lord, is obedient hearts. So, Father, we just ask this morning that you would just release this word and that you would release your spirit over this word in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to bring a message of how we are wired and how we are made to do life together, and how we're made to relate to each other. And you know, when relating to others, we need to understand our roles and our responsibilities and relationships so that we can grow together in Christ. And when you got saved, and when you come into the church environment with other people, you would have noticed they don't act like you, they don't think like you. And then you suddenly begin to realize that these people are going to become your spiritual family. And then you begin to say to yourself, I have enough problems with my own natural family. It's true. And now God's calling me in to do life with the church. But you see, God wants to raise us up. And in this series, God wants to raise us up to the next level. And it's the next level of maturity, of spiritual maturity, of being a Christian. You know, being a Christian can present some challenges along the way. And I'm going to unlock some of that today. But when we become together, when we get together, we become stronger. And we become part of God's global idea. You know, often throughout church history, a lot of people have come to know God. And they have known of God. But not many of them have become real disciples. And if we are to keep growing, it's important we understand how we are wired as people and how we relate to each other. And you know, we're in a culture today where social media is taking over. You know, Facebook is one of the most popular social networking sites, Twitter. And I think Bebo, if it's still alive. I remember my dad used to call it, you know, that thing, that Bebob thing. But, you know, when you look at this stuff, you can ponder at people's lifestyles. And you can think their world is full of fun, it's full of activities, as they begin to post all their photographs and all of that on the site. And maybe you're stuck behind a computer studying. Or maybe you're caught up rearing kids. Or maybe you're working every hour that God sends. And you begin to compare your life with these people. And you begin to think, wow, they have a great life. But you know what? Social networking, as much as I'm a fan of it, I love Facebook. But you know what? It can never be substituted for relationships. It's just a tool, and it's just a tool to help us keep in touch with people, help us keep in touch with people across the world. But it doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are. Each person in this room has been built to connect in relationships with other people. And I want to look at Matthew 22, 37. So if you have your Bibles, if you want to turn there with me. I believe if there was only one truth in the whole Bible, Jesus would say this. It's Matthew 22, 37. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. You know, just before, if you back up a few lines, there was a Pharisee that came to Jesus. And he began to challenge Jesus and he began to test him and he began to say to him, you know, what is the greatest commandment? And Jesus said to him, everything that you're teaching the people is all summed up in these two commandments, to love the Lord your God and love your neighbor. And you know, when we walk with Jesus, we've got to understand who we are. And first of all, we've got to like ourselves. As people, we have to like ourselves. And when you look in that mirror every day, you should see the image of Christ when you look in that mirror. And if you don't see that, maybe you have a flaw of what beauty is. Because the world will tell you, and the glossy magazines, and all the media to tell you, this is what beauty looks like. But not God. You know, when you were knit together in your mother's womb, when you were created in your mother's womb, he loved you. He loved you then, and he still loves you. And he has a plan for you. And we've heard it time and time again throughout this series that God has a plan for each of us. And that plan is to relate to other people. And maybe you didn't know that, but that's what part of the plan is. And I remember when I was a young kid, you know, you get asked, well, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I used to say, I want to be an air hostess. I want to be a dolly with a trolley, you know? And you know what? I could see myself going up and down them aisles. What can I do for you, sir? What can I do for you, ma'am? But you know what? My life didn't turn out that way. But God had a different plan. But my plan is now in the kingdom of God. And I am that dolly with the trolley. But that trolley looks like bringing people along and gathering people in and bringing people to the things that God has called them to be. So we all have a plan and we all have a purpose. You know, when Jesus was down in Canaan, he performed his first miracle. And that first miracle was turning the water into wine. And then he went on to Capernaum. And you know what? He was like a celebrity down there. And the people wanted to keep him down there. He performed miracle after miracle. But Jesus knew that he had to go on to the next town, the next village, the next city, because that's what he was called to do. And just like the way we are planting church campuses around this city, we're all being called to the big global picture of what God has. How we love God will reflect how we interact with each other. When you love God and you know God, you allow his strength to flow out of you. And that strength flows onto others. And you might be saying, but I do love God. I do love him. But I'm afraid to reach out to other people. I've been wounded by them. Well, I'm a living witness here standing before you. Been there, done that, and wore the t-shirt. But you know what? In God's strength, we can do all. You see, God's word says, perfect love casts out all fear. And if we are intertwined, believing we are made in the image of Jesus, fear has no place in us. You see, if we as Christians have got to love the new nature in Christ that he has given us, we've got to love the work of God in us. Because he's leading us to do something, and it's something big for him. We've got to be proactive in building relationships. We've got to go for it. You know, Noel launched people in this church a while ago. People that came in here on a Thursday night where they had a meeting. And he would do a launching path down that aisle where he was launching people into what God had for them. But that's what we're called for. So when we're proactive, building relationships, we got to take the risk and we got to go for it. We have to invest in others. Because when we invest, it produces a harvest. It produces a gathering. And it produces a gathering of real disciples. And you might look around this room and maybe other people stand out to you. Or maybe even someone will pop into your mind and you notice that they're flowing in the abundance of God's love because they're relating to others. And you begin to ask yourself, how do they do that? How do they relate to others? They're able to love because Jesus first loved them. They're able to give freely because Jesus gave freely. They're able to forgive because Jesus forgave. They get it's not religion that they're into. It's not religion that they're following. They don't have to do all the church stuff. Well, if I pray enough, if I get religious enough, if I join this ministry, if I fast enough, we've all been there. But you know what? God does the work. It's not a tick the box exercise. You see, these are the people who get that they are not made for a ritual because they know God is not into performance or methods. These are people who get that they're wired to relate to others because they took hold of God's grace, his undeserved favor. If you look at our stew crew, they go out every Wednesday night and they go out and they feed the homeless. They go out and they clothe the homeless. Why do they do that? Because God's grace is in them. They want to go out and reach a lost world. They want to go out and give a smile or give a kind gesture. A pot noodle. Just a pot noodle. You see, it's an inner passion of God that burns inside of them, which moves them to love God and others. Because if they were to do it in their own strength, I'm sure they would probably come across people who they would find are unlovable. You see, Jesus says, we have to accept this new nature that he has put into us. We have got to love the work of God. You see, he's leading us to maturity and he is changing you to become more like him. So don't stop the work. Don't stop what God is doing in you. If the road is a bit bumpy at the moment or a bit challenging, don't stop the work of God. You see, God is leading us to maturity. And I'm going to shift this message a little bit. And if I'm a disciple, is it okay then for me to judge others? Do I have a right to judge others? Do I have a right and a responsibility of somebody else's character? Did you ever witness a couple arguing? I'd never do that. But you know, if you ever hear a couple arguing, they begin to tear strips off each other. They start calling each other names. You're selfish. You never helped me. You're this, you're that. And they start to attack the other person's character. And what you begin to notice, they're looking out for their own needs. But every time God gets near to us, we want to tell him what's wrong with the other person. We want to tell him what's wrong with Joe Bloggs beside us, Mary Kay on the other side. But God, don't look at me. You see, it says in Romans 14:4, who are you to judge someone else's servant? To his own master, he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. You know, in this scripture, it tells us we're not called to judge another Christian or another person. You see, the spiritual glasses we use to look at others are the same ones reflecting back. And when you look at yourself and you're not very pleased, you're likely to have some distortion or some view or some impression when you look at others. And when this happens, we become judgmental. And we become judgmental of other people. And you know, I spoke with a man this week and he began to share with me that many years ago his son played for the Ireland team and they were going on a trip to Switzerland. And when they were on that trip to Switzerland, there was another man on the sideline. And the first man said, I intently disliked him. I intently disliked him for no apparent reason. But while they were away and while the trip was taking its course, the two men came together and the two men got to know each other. And the other man, that second man, was the All-Ireland Irish Dancing Championship. So through many nights and probably sessions, they did a lot of rigs and jails and river dance. But the two men became friends and they built a relationship when they got back here. See, many of us have been in this position, judging a person before we even get to know them. And in Philippians 2, it says, each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ. You know, people slated Jesus. People mocked him. People ridiculed him. And yet all he could do was love people back. And where we have a responsibility towards other people before God is to meet their needs. Not focusing on the failings, but choosing to think well of them. Who has teenagers in the house? God help us all. And my son is sitting up in the sound box. I love you, Jamie. But you know what? Our household is going through some transitions at the moment. You know, my 12-year-old is embarking now on adolescence. And that brings many changes, many challenges, some good and some not so good. But you know, as a parent, we have a responsibility to bring our children up in the training, instructions of the Lord, and discipline them when they are disobedient. And as a child of God, he loves the ones he disciplines. It's for correcting, it's for educating, and for training us just like we do our teenagers. There's not one of us that's going to escape this training. And God says, I love you, and I'm coming to you. God is getting up off his throne and he is coming to you because he wants to change you. And sometimes throughout life, we're going to go through the hard school of knocks. But God's love will correct us and he will highlight things in our life that are not right. And you know, for some of us, you know, we're swinging on the hammock. I've been there and we just keep swinging and swinging. But there comes a time in the life of a Christian where God comes and he flips us off the hammock. And although discipline for some of us seems unpleasant, it can be painful. I've gone through 3 years where God has been correcting me in things in my character, things that I didn't want to expose to myself. But God has shown me. And yet there was trials and I had to go through those trials. But when I came out the other side, I began to see what God was showing me. And I began to receive that peace. And I began to receive his righteousness. But I also began not to make the same mistakes that I had been making. Because if God is going to correct us, he's going to move us out of that place and bring us to a place where we won't fall back. But what about when others do wrong? Do we just ignore it? Well, we're not the conscience of another person. We're not called to be the conscience. I'm not called to be the conscience of Eddie. If Eddie sat there smoking a pipe, I'm not there, you know, to be in judgmental of Eddie. Even if we see the issues that are in somebody else's life much more clearer than they can, it's the role of the Holy Spirit. It's the job of the Holy Spirit to come and come alongside that person and to woo that person to a place where he can get them to be, where he can get them to be, to release them of that sin that has been crouching at their doorstep. You see, when we identify sins in other people's lives, we get in the way of the Holy Spirit. And we become the focus for that person. because God has taken out of the equation. And we haven't been given the ministry of condemnation. Sorry, folks. But we've been given the ministry of reconciliation. So where we can love unto others is not to judge them, but to carry out discipline. And in Hebrews it says, no discipline seems pleasant. For any of us, it can be painful at times. But later on, it does produce a harvest of righteousness. Peace for those who have been trained by it. When you picture God the Father, is your image of him resembling a headmaster, a figure looking down at you to see if there is anything to discipline you for? Or is he like a smiling dad with open arms waiting for you to run into them, no matter what's going on in your world? You see, the way you see God will determine where you're going and where your future is going. You see, we have a God who loves us so much that he won't leave us where we're at. He'll get up off his throne and he'll come to you. He will come to you. Because he's in the business of developing character. He's in the business of bringing us to maturity. But you know, when the shoe is on the other foot and our character is attacked, who's been there? Should we be defensive? And I just want you to listen to this story. And it's about a young woman who made an appointment to see her pastor. And she had written a list of all the good and the bad points about him. And there was only two good points on that list. And all the bad ones were as long as her arm. And as she spoke about each point, the pastor was very tempted to defend himself. But he said nothing. And as she finished, he said to her, "It must have taken a lot of courage to share that list with me. What do you suggest I do?" At that point, she started crying and said, "Oh, it's not you, it's me." You see, if we can learn not to be defensive when people attack our character, we might just get an opportunity to minister to them. You see, that pastor helped restore that young woman, which led her to a different ministry position that was suited to her giftings. When our relationship is lukewarm with God, our character will overlook our own sin. When people don't match up to our expectations, when they let us down, we say they're doing it wrong. And we want to point it out to them. When we exercise our rights above our responsibilities in any relationship, we sow a seed of destruction. And when we see people who are struggling with sin, we need to learn to be like God and come alongside them. We need to learn to have a heart like God. That we don't reject them, but that we accept them. That we don't have condemnation towards them. That we're filled with love towards them. You see, there's a scripture in the Bible that says, you reap what you sow. And there's an old saying that goes, what goes around comes around. You see, the positives of the Bible's teaching about reaping and sowing are not to give up on doing good in our lives and doing good for others and doing good for the Lord. You see, God has wired us to do life together. That's how we grow. Every one of us has needs to be loved. Every one of us has needs to be accepted. It's a fact. It's a fact in humanity. You know, doing church Sunday to Sunday, it's not enough. And sometimes you can slip in here on a Sunday and you can get lost in the crowd. And you know what? It can be lonely in a crowd. You see, we all have needs. And those needs can be met spiritually in link groups. They can be met in the men's ministry. They can be met in the women's ministry. And even this new Liberty Life group that we introduced here last week. You know, the link groups are going to be coming to a close in a week or two. But you know what? Don't give up on God, because he's not giving up on you. Take hold of this Liberty link. Get connected with two new people that you don't know and bring them into your world. Don't let the summer go by being a complainer that there's no link groups on. Get connected with this because it's in your control to do this. Keep busy over the summer. As a disciple, we get out of life what we put into it. If you want a friend, you've got to be a friend. If you want somebody to love you, you have to love somebody. When you do something for somebody else, it feels great, doesn't it? When you help somebody else, you help yourself in the process. You see, Jesus said, give and it will be given to you. A good measure pressed down and shaken together and running over will be poured into your lap. Amen. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. But unless we can see ourselves honestly, we are not going to be able to really see and love others. Jesus said, it's more blessed to give. It's more blessed to give. Amen. You know, nobody said this Christian life was going to be easy. But you know what? We can do it with God. You know, when we love the Lord, that command, that great command, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. That's giving him everything. That's putting everything on hold and loving God first. You see, God is passionate about people. And we have sang the songs here this morning. And we have often sang a song, Lord, what breaks your heart? What breaks my heart? Am I saying that wrong? For what breaks my heart, for what breaks yours, along those lines. And you know what? I remember being up the front here one Sunday. I remember saying, Lord, break my heart. The things that break your heart, break them. And what breaks God's hearts is people. Because God is all about people. And we've got to come to that place that it's not just all about me. It's not about me and us four and no more. But it's a bigger global picture. So Lord, what breaks your heart, break this heart. Change this heart. Take out the things in this heart that are not you, not of you. We've got to be committed to God, to spending time with him. We've got to trust him with everything. And we've got to allow him to bring us through the hard school of knocks. Because you will reap a harvest. And you will reap righteousness. And you will reap peace. If you allow him to train you, you will not be in the same place that you're in now, this time next year. Love and God is being wired together. Just being wired together to love our neighbour as God has called us out to do life together. That we don't gloss over life and forget our neighbour who is nearby, whether you're in work, whether you're in your community, whether you're in a cafe, they're your neighbours, guys. If it's a widow, if it's a single mother, if it's the wealthy, if it's the poor, if it's the orphan. And why not go home after here today and call someone who is not here? Someone who would just love to see a friendly face or a cheerful voice and tell them how they add to your life. Connect, connect, connect. That's what God has called us to do. This is the plan and this is the purpose. You know, the Israelite people, when they were in the wilderness, they had all the experience with God we can only sometimes dream about. A pillar of fire by night, a pillar of smoke by day, supernatural deliverance from Egypt, miracle after miracle, supernatural provision of manna, meat, water, supernatural protection, and victory over their enemies. Hearing the voice of the Lord coming down the mountain, seeing Moses' face shining so brightly with the glory right before their eyes, and so much more. And we sang about the glory today. Show us your glory, Lord. We sang about it. Let's become devoted disciples. Let's become a people in this community that will stand and will let God change us. let's become like the apostles in Acts 2:42. They devoted themselves to the teaching, to the fellowship, to the praying, and to the breaking of bread. Let's get out of life what we put into it. And let's step up into what God is calling us to do. And I'm just closing. Can we just have the screen, guys? Amen. Can I ask everybody to stand? We're just coming to the end. And I want to express how we can be the person God created us to be, no matter what other people and the world throw at us. So, I'm going to read the first line and then you can come in on the second. All right? People are unreasonable, illogical, and self-centered. If you do good, people will accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives. If you are successful, you will win false friends and true enemies. The good you do today will be forgotten tomorrow. People favor underdogs, but follow only top dogs. Amen. People really need help, but may attack you if you help them. Give the world the best. Give the world the best you have got, and you will get kicked in the teeth. Is that it? Give the world the best you've got anyway. I'm going to ask the band to come back. Give the world the best you've got anyway. And I'm going to land it on that today. Because we all have a place. We all have a purpose in this kingdom. And God has called you not to stay where you're at, but to move into the next level. And to when you go through them storms, know that you will come out of them. And in the storms, there's learning in the storms. Because God is doing something in you to change your character. He's doing something to take stuff that's in your character, whether it be anger, whether it be jealousy, whether it be, you know, unself-control, whatever that is, God is doing something. And don't shrink back. Allow God to take you through the transformation. Because he's a transforming God. He's a transforming God. So the front will be open. If you need prayer, we will pray with you. But we're going to end in this song, Let It Rain. Can we end with that? Yeah? You know what? I love this song. It does something. You know, and you know what? It can do something in you. And just be free here today. Let God come in. Say, yes, God, I want to change. I don't want to stay where I'm at. I want to be transformed. I don't want to stand before you and say, yes, Lord, I judge this person and I judge that person. I want to be a person that's righteous. I want to be a person that's made in the image of Jesus. That I become more and more like your son. Lord, I want to leave the old behind. And I want to move in the new transition that you're calling me into. And as a church, can I encourage you, move in that transition. Move. Because we're moving places. And we don't want any to be left behind. We don't want to lose anyone in this place today. We want everybody to come with us. We want everybody to come with us. And I ask you all, allow God to do the work. Because know that you will stand at the end of it. Because he's with you. Amen. Yeah.